Good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be with you all today. And thank you for reading a lot of the book of Jonah. Almost the whole thing. I appreciate that. my name is Dexter Carney. I'm coming up from Longview, Washington, a couple hours south, but I work across Washington State with people coming home from prison and with churches. In Washington, there's roughly the same number of people in prison as there are churches. And so we thought, what would it look like if each church just walked alongside one person coming home? We're going to talk about Jonah today, and we're going to see some overlaps with that as well. I'll also be staying afterwards to enjoy the potluck with you all. Thank you for having me, and would love to talk to you more about that as well. Who's heard the story of Jonah before? It's a pretty familiar Bible story. One that I think that if we've heard too many times, we might forget its original purpose. We know in the ending that Nineveh repents and Jonah is a whiny baby. But what I want us to try and do is to go back and pretend that we're reading the story for the first time. First thing we hear is that Jonah hears a word from God. Jonah is a prophet. The original audience would immediately know, okay, this is the good guy. This is the protagonist of the story and going to be the hero, the one that we listen to and follow and act like. God immediately tells him to get up and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their evil has come to my attention. The audience settles in, gets excited for this story, a sweet revenge story. They can tell it's coming. Nineveh's finally going to get what they deserve. God's justice is going to be met out, divine punishment to the wicked. This longtime antagonist against ancient Israel, of which Nineveh is the capital. These are people who have been terrible to the ancient Hebrews, torturing, kidnapping, going to war, desecrating their holy places. We, the audience, know Nineveh is the bad guys. Everyone knows this. So we start this story. Jonah, the good guy with divine power from God. Nineveh, the bad guys who are going to get what they deserve. Like Egypt's warriors drowning in the Red Sea, the audience is ready for an action-packed story of sweet, sweet vengeance. But this story, it turns out, is not an action thriller that they were hoping for. No, it's, in fact, a comedy. A comedy that uses the audience's expectations and understandings of hero and villain, good guy and bad guy, and flips the script on its head. Right in verse 3, Jonah got up. The audience assumes to go on his holy mission of God, and he's prepared to go to Nineveh and speak out, but instead Jonah immediately flees without a single word in the opposite direction. The audience might be wondering, wait a second, the protagonist is running away, the hero is fleeing their responsibility, the good guy's doing the opposite of what God wanted? Okay, the audience takes a deep breath. Maybe, you know, like good stories, you gotta have a little failure before you get to success. Maybe this is just the opportunity that Jonah's gonna learn to trust God's gonna get it right on a second try. Jonah, of course, is tossed from the boat. And interestingly enough, Jonah doesn't tell the ship, let's turn around and go to Nineveh, because that would abate God's wrath. No, just toss me out and I'll die and I still don't have to do what I'm supposed to. That sounds perfect. But of course, God doesn't allow that to happen. Jonah, swallowed by a large fish, vomited back in Nineveh, negating his whole journey to try and escape. Whew. Okay, the audience maybe starts to feel a little hopeful that the story is back on track. Okay, reluctant prophet deals with his fears, learns to overcome them and trust God, and the Ninevites are gonna get smashed. Sadly, Jonah continues to fail to live up to our expectations. And we see Jonah do just the bare minimum of what God was asking. The text makes it very clear that the city of Nineveh would take 3 days to walk all the way across it. So Jonah walks in for, you know, maybe half a day, delivers the exact words that God said, no more, no less. 40 days more and Nineveh will be overthrown. Am I good? All right, I can leave now. My job's done. And walks out of town. Okay, Jonah, really A-plus effort there. Goes to the hill, sits there, and is ready to watch the impending destruction because Jonah knows Nineveh is bad. They're going to get destroyed. The audience, we were on the edge of our seat, but we can sit back, we can relax, everything's back to how it's supposed to be. The good guy did what the good guy's supposed to do, the bad guys are going to get what the bad guys get. All is right in the world. All is right in the world. Right? That's the story? That's how it's supposed to go? But no. What's this? The people of Nineveh completely repent? All the way from the king to the stable hands to even the animals repenting? Every single person, 120,000 people, it says, commit to change their ways, fasting, wearing sackcloth, even the animals putting on sackcloth, which must have been really an interesting thing to see. This is not how bad guys act. Bad guys don't say they're sorry. That's not the story we're here to see. Bad guys are supposed to pay. But God changes God's mind. And that's a whole sermon I'll leave for Pastor Amy for another day. The people of Nineveh are saved. Jonah is furious. Jonah throws a monumental fit, complaining that it would be better for him to die than to see his enemies repent and change and receive mercy. It would be better to die than to see God give mercy to someone who is your enemy. How many people in that original audience, how many of us might have felt something similar at some point? Story ends, God steps in with a question. And while it might seem to have a clear answer, I think it is meant to prompt us to question our role in this narrative. God says, "Can't I have mercy on Nineveh?" So, how are we to hear this story today? I think the author wants us to think that we are the protagonists like Jonah. Wants us to put us in the shoes of the protagonist. We often think we're the protagonist of our own stories, the hero, the good guy, the person who's going to do the right thing, and maybe there's some other people who are good, but we're sort of the leaders of our story. And wants us to empathize and think we're going to be like Jonah. Except the problem with this story is that Jonah is the only one who does not understand God's mercy. Everyone else gets it. The people on the boat understand it. The Ninevites understand it. The animals understand it. Everyone gets God's mercy except for Jonah, the one who we're supposed to relate to. At one parish, one prisoner, we see this story play out time and time again. So often, churches and religious folks want to be the protagonists. We want to believe that God is on our side, and sometimes that might mean that God's not on someone else's side. And we're comfortable with that distance between the us and the them. The feared other who makes us uncomfortable. And oftentimes, this line shows up most clearly in our society with people in prison or people who have prison in their history. When someone comes into a nice church and the people are dressed up and well-groomed, but the stranger has tattoos on their face, wearing a tank top, our immediate thoughts sometimes might be more like Jonah than like God. Maybe I should flee. At one of our first One Parish, One Prisoner churches, we call them OPOP churches, it's a little easier to roll off the tongue. Back in 2017, we had a nice Presbyterian church. They were meeting inside a cool venue. They had a hip little coffee shop to serve the downtown Seattle Amazonianites, whatever they're called. And we paired them with a former member of the notorious MS-13 gang, which you may have heard in many documentaries or things like that, an LA-based gang of El Salvadorian refugees, not known for being good guys. So the optics in our culture says, okay, we know who's supposed to be the good guys, we know who's supposed to be the bad guys. But that church that day, I think, understood what God was showing us in this story. Angelo, whose name has been changed, the member of the previous member of MS-13, to them was just another human being. Not that his past was squeaky clean, or that he had never caused harm, or that he wasn't responsible for healing and doing better. But it was also not something that God was unwilling to forgive, to offer a new chance. These two groups from completely separate backgrounds came together and built a relationship over time of mutuality and radical solidarity. The harm and the sins of Angelo that he could not easily hide opened up the vulnerability of those church members to share about their own struggles with mental health or addiction, or the harms that they've caused in their life. In our story today, Jonah has the opportunity to be transformed. The opportunity to be transformed in relationship with the Ninevites. But instead, Jonah does everything he can to avoid them. He flees to the other side of the world. He throws himself off a boat. He goes into the town and just does the bare minimum and then flees out to this hill. All to avoid what he calls the merciful and compassionate God, very patient, full of faithful love, and willing not to destroy. Those are great things, but how might we want to avoid those things? And it begs this question of us, how will we respond when God calls us to move closer to the other, to the stranger, to the convict, the incarcerated, the gang member, to open ourselves up to new relationships that might feel uncomfortable or even scary? And since we so often see ourselves as the protagonist in our stories, the author uses that inclination to shatter the binaries that we've created in our world. Who is in? Who is out? Who is bad? Who is good? Who deserves God's mercy and who does not? This binary way of thinking restricts our worldview and our ability to see and receive mercy. Because Jonah wasn't just trying to restrict this merciful and compassionate God from Nineveh. He was also restricting it from himself and his own way of thinking. At one parish, one prisoner, we asked the question, what would happen if Jonah had gotten to know the Ninevites? Instead of prejudging them and assuming they would always choose destruction, what would happen if Jonah had stayed a little bit longer and seen how readily they were to receive this message of forgiveness, of grace, of mercy? To see them go, oh my gosh, we've been causing so much harm. We want to do better. We want to change. We want to be different. In the work that I get to do and we get to do, we build relationships between the incarcerated and the communities to which they are returning. 95% of folks in prison will come home someday. We build teams of 7 to 10 people in the church. We train them on how to build a relationship. Sometimes that's as simple as, how do I write a letter? And sometimes that's a little more of, how do I express curiosity and wonder and openness? We launch them on a 2-year journey of mutual discovery, embrace, and trust. How for us might a relationship with someone who society says is so different from us actually open us up to see more grace and mercy in our own lives? While Jonah did the bare minimum that God asked, keeping his distance, avoiding the Ninevites, God asks him, who deserves mercy? Who deserves mercy? How will we answer this question today? Will we run away from God's call to share mercy? Will we reject the mercy offered to us? Will we cling to our binary understandings of good and bad? Or will we open ourselves up to the binary breaking mercy of a God whose love is overflowing? Something I think is really essential to the story of Jonah is that it's not actually about Nineveh. We can insert all sorts of enemies into this good guy, bad guy narrative, but the story's called Jonah. It's about Jonah. It's about those of us who think we're the protagonist. And it's a challenge for us to consider, who are we judging? And how might we open ourselves up to God's mercy with someone who perhaps we think is irredeemable? Who is irredeemable in our minds? Sometimes we go to like national level stuff, but I'm probably not going to be in relationship with a lot of those folks. Who in our communities? Who in our local area? Maybe who coming home from prison might we think is irredeemable? And how might God's mercy transform us in this process? So I invite you to take this story of Jonah to turn us inward to receive mercy, to receive it, to open it up that, yeah, you can receive mercy. You receive it. And how might that open us up to go out and create a world filled with that mercy for all? May we go and make it so.